I wanted to just to touch base with you about something that for me is something that I have worked with and lived with for my whole life in the things of the Spirit. So I got baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1997. I was 19 at the time, and I had a powerful encounter with God. And when God's presence came on my life and he touched my life, my spiritual senses turned on. Like before that, it wasn't that I was completely ignorant to what was going on around me, but when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, when the spiritual gifts became alive in me, you know, 1 Corinthians 12, it lists through, these are all the different ways that the Holy Spirit manifests in a person's life. Like there is a gift called the discernment of spirits. And for me, that gift went boom, just turned on to where when I would walk into a place, I would begin to feel affected by the atmosphere that existed in a place. And at first, I didn't know what was going on. And so I thought I was, you know, something funky is going on with me, right? And really, it was just that I was meeting funky people. Light bulbs might be going on for some of you. Maybe your problem isn't you. Maybe your problem is you have this gift that's been turned on, right? And so you're experiencing the atmospheres that are around people or in places. You ever gone into like a restaurant or a shop or something and you just knew, huh, there's something going on here. Like something ain't quite right. You've never had this happen to you? Have you ever met someone and thought this thing? Something ain't quite right? Or you meet somebody and it's like divine connection. You're like, we are cut of the same cloth. I don't know why, but I know you. We are brothers. Right? Brothers from another mother. But we're brothers. Like, I know it. You are my sister. We connected. Like the spirit man was like, woo, same person, you know? You are meant to know somebody. And then so the relationship, it progresses fast. And, you know, we call them fast friendships, right? You're in and you're walking with somebody. And it's amazing to me that the atmosphere over someone can shut a relationship down or open it wide up. You know, this discernment of spirits, you know, you could focus that on negativity. It's possible for you to, you know, focus the ability to discern what's going on spiritually over somebody. It's possible for you to focus that on darkness. So everywhere you go, you're finding a demon under every rock. Right? So when you meet people, you instantly know what's wrong with them because that's what you're focused on. It's also possible to kind of have that attitude towards churches. By the way, welcome to the house. If you're new here and you're church shopping, can I just tell you? That this place isn't, it's not for the faint of heart. It's not for the faint of heart. However, it is a church that is rooted in kingdom, and we want to see the fullness of everything that heaven has to offer manifested in your life. We do. I want to see your life empowered. I want to see you fulfill what God's called you to. You're listening to a pastor this morning that understands that I don't get my well done, thou good and faithful servant, until you get yours, because that's my job. So you're not going to find me standing in your way. You're going to find my foot in your rear end. Get going. You were supposed to be doing something. Why are you looking at me for permission? But when we, you know, Nicole and I have had this experience, we've moved to a new city. We have found ourselves in the midst of having to look and experience different churches, just trying to find where do we belong. And it's interesting to me that it's so easy to get into like a critical mindset where when you go into a place, you're actually looking for what's wrong. And so the discernment of spirit thing, your meter is out there trying to figure out what's wrong with the place and not what's right. Can I just tell you that the discernment of spirits is not for discovering what demons are hiding under what rocks. The discernment of spirits is actually about knowing someone after the spirit. It's about knowing what's going on with someone. So you meet somebody and you're like, You have a sense and an understanding of where a person's at on their journey and what God's calling them to, so that you, as a fellow believer, know how to add value to them to help them on their journey. Because we're supposed to be each other's cheerleaders, right? It's not my job to discern what's wrong with you and then tell you what's wrong with you, because that doesn't help anyone. Have you ever attempted to tell someone what's wrong with them? Are they still your friend? I dare you sometime, go down the mall, turn on that whole discernment of spirit thing, meet a stranger, and then tell them what's spiritually wrong with them. Let me know how that goes for you. Right? Or just write it on a sign and go stand out in front of something and pick it. Use the discernment of spirits to tell people and tell the world what is wrong, and then use that as the way that you are attempting to convince them that God's good. Do you see how this gift aimed in the wrong direction would actually have you moving towards judgmental status and not towards empowerment? See, if you have the discernment of spirits, you have it turned on, the Holy Spirit in you, you begin to discern what's going on with someone's life. If you have it turned on towards the positive, then you're going to get behind it and you're going to want to help them. You're going to want to strengthen them. You're going to want to add value. You're going to want to prophesy over them and sow into what's going on in their life. But if you have it aimed in the negative direction, you're going to end up judging them and you're going to end up coming up with all the reasons why you don't want to be around them. Or you experience something, you know, maybe they have a bad day. Anyone ever have one of those? They have a bad day, and so now this becomes fuel for the reasons why you don't trust them. Now I'm up in your stuff, sorry. We'll just back out. You're fine. I'm talking to your neighbor. I am not talking to you. Don't worry. But this gift, if you have the person of the Holy Spirit in you, this thing is on in you. You may have different measures of or experience in operating in the different gifts of the Holy Spirit, but if Holy Spirit's in you, it's Him who is the gift. And He causes these things to be happening in every believer. This stuff is happening in you. You are discerning. You are, but you got to be aware of which direction this is aimed in, because whatever direction you are aiming that thing in, your mouth is going to begin to speak according to where your heart is leaning towards. Your mouth will begin to, like, if you're discerning something bad, your mouth will begin to accuse people. If you're discerning, there's something awry here, there's something going on with this person. If you're discerning, you know, hey, that maybe something ain't quite right, and you are leaning your heart then into that aspect of a person's life or a church or a setting, it doesn't matter what it is. If you're not seeing a redemptive value in something, your mouth will begin to sow into that atmosphere in a negative way. You'll judge it. You'll be critical of it. You'll speak to it. You'll end up binding things over people. You'll have a judgment in your heart that will keep you ever from experiencing what's good about that person because you've already decided what's bad. Am I talking to anybody this morning? Or is anybody? Wait, okay, wave at me if you are alive. Okay, anybody present here? If you're not present, raise your hand. Okay. So that thing in me became alive, and you know, I meet somebody and go, oh man, there's something just, and at first, in immaturity, I would use that discernment then to stay away from people. But that's not what Jesus did. When He discerned what was going on with somebody, He would head straight into the storm. Okay, how many in here, if you knew somebody was possessed by a legion of demons, would charter a boat to go straight to visit them? Right? Okay, a legion of demons. Or let's just say you didn't know there was a legion of demons, but they are known for running around the town naked and killing the sheep and killing the pigs, and they are known to be not in their right mind. In fact, when people try to bind them with chains, they just rip the chains off. Okay, if you are discerning something may not quite be right with that kind of a person, how many in here, you charter the boat to go straight to them? You don't avoid them, you head to them. Okay, this is your Jesus. The kinder, gentler Jesus goes straight at a legion of demons in a person because he recognizes there's a value in the person. He's not afraid of the junk. How many lepers did Jesus lay hands on where he got leprosy? In the Old Testament, you touch a leper, someone with disease, you became unclean. In the New Testament, when you touch a leper, someone who is unclean, they become clean. Okay, we're not to be afraid of darkness. We're not to be afraid of bad atmosphere. You know, just avoid that shop because there's something wrong with that shop. We avoid that section of the bookstore because there's a demon that lives there. Now I'm messing with you. I know I am. Right? It gets weird. It gets weird, and then that's what Christians get known for, what they're against. We get labeled like that. We're judgmental. Yeah, because we are judgmental. That's what the world calls us. Yes, because that's how we've been behaving. Discernment is not to separate you from the world. That is not what Jesus used discernment for. He used discernment towards a person to find out what was valuable about them so that he could highlight that. Yes, we're not going to skirt the issue. We're going to deal with issues, but we're looking for what's valuable. Are you with me here today? Can you see how if you got it aimed in one direction, you end up in a very different place than if you have it aimed in the other direction? If you have a skeptical mind and you're trying to find out what's wrong, then that's all you're going to see. Amen, Pastor Jamie. That was a mighty good point. Okay. Let's read some Bible. Genesis chapter 1. If you got a Bible with you, would you please open to Genesis chapter 1? Genesis chapter 1, I'm going to read the first four verses. If you can put that up on the screen, that would be awesome too. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God separated the light from the darkness. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things about this passage of Scripture. First of all, the earth is formless and void. God creates the heavens, he creates the earth, but it hasn't taken form. It hasn't taken shape yet, right? But within the void or within the darkness, there are a couple of things happening. There is the places of the deep, and then there are waters. These are two separate things. In fact, they're two very different words. When it says that darkness was over the surface of the deep, everyone say darkness. Darkness is existing over the surface of the deep. The word deep there, it is the same word as abyss. It is the same word. It's where we get our thinking concerning like the deep places in the ocean. Right? What's the ocean made out of? Salt water. Would you want to drink from the ocean? Has anyone ever drank from the ocean? I remember distinctly my first trip to the beach. I remember it distinctly. I remember going into that first wave being so excited about what I was about to experience with my mouth open. Right? And then you are back on dry land coughing and spewing until, you know, and begging for another drink of fresh water or soda or something, right? Because I got to get this taste out of my mouth. Salt water is not a good plan for drinking. Right? The places of the deep, the oceans, the salt water, there is this existence of something over its surface, darkness. That word for darkness is the word for chaos. Without order. This is what is existing over the salt water, the deep places. And then you come over here and there's this contrast. And I don't know if you've ever seen it as if it's talking about the same thing, but it is not talking about the same thing. The deep places and the waters are two very different things. Because when you look at the word waters, the word for waters is the word for springs, the word for rivers, lakes, for a well, something you dug into the ground and you were able to drink from this well. It is fresh water. This over here, what is existing over the surface of the deep, of the salt water, what's existing over that? Chaos, a darkness, a void of order, and what is helpful for being constructive. That is that doesn't exist over. There's a lack, a serious lack over these places. And then you come over here and you have the Spirit of God or the breath of God existing and hovering over the fresh water. That's the picture of in the beginning. It wasn't the Spirit of God hovering over all of the waters of the world. It wasn't like that. It says it very distinctly. These are two different points of view. You have darkness and you have light. And God even says, he separates the darkness from the light. These are two distinct experiences. The word darkness in the beginning that hovered over it is chaos. The word darkness, when he separates light from darkness, that word darkness there is the same word. Chaos. Now, why would that be important? I want you to see this morning that what hovers over the surface of one thing, it leads to a brokenness, it leads to confusion, it leads to lack, it keeps somebody under a form of chaos where they can't get order in their life and they're stuck. And what's hovering over the other thing is a life that is filled with the breath of God and his voice and creativity and teems with life and purpose, and all because what is existing over both of these surfaces, theirs are distinctly different. If you got a Bible, would you turn with me to James chapter 3? Remember those two statements. What's hovering over the salt water? Darkness. What is hovering over the fresh water? The Spirit of God, the breath of God. James chapter 3, starting in verse 1. James chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Let not many of you become teachers, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. Now, let me just pause for a moment. For those in the teaching profession here, he's not telling you need to change career fields. In the end of your life, you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You will. Your life will be judged. The books will be opened. And what will be brought forth and what will be judged is every careless word that you spoke. What came out of your mouth. You will have a judgment before God, and he is going to measure your life by what you said. Your life will have a measurement taken according to the words that came out of your mouth. Now, why would that be so important to God? You'll come to understand in a little bit here. But our words are shaping your future. Our words are shaping other people's experiences. Your words have such great power, and there is a judgment and accountability to that which comes out. Now, the Apostle Paul says, not many of you ought to become teachers. Now, the context is this. Hey, not everybody should intentionally try to influence the lives of other people with their words. Not everybody should take up this course. Not everyone should attempt to instruct people's lives, tell them what to do, to give them instruction with their words. Not everyone should try to take that up as a profession. Why? Because you will incur a judgment and it will be stricter. Why will it be more strict? Because your words were shaping other people's realities. Like, there is an accountability that comes with attempting to influence people with your words. And he just wants you to be aware of it. Not to shy away from it. If that's a life calling, that's awesome. But then you need to be keenly aware of what I'm saying this morning. Look at this. Let not many of you become teachers, my brother, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put a bit into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, and we direct the entire body as well. Look at the ships also. They're so great and being driven by strong winds, and yet they are directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. Verse 5, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Okay, Paul says this. If you can control your tongue, you can control your life. If you can control your tongue, you control your life. If you control your tongue, then you are a perfect man, perfect woman. It's not gender specific here. Right? Guys aren't the only problems with tongues. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. The tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among all the members, which it defiles the entire body and sets the fire on fire the course of our life, and it is set on fire by hell itself. Now, if you would be so desirous this morning, you could take your finger and you could point and touch your neighbor's tongue. If not, that's fine too. You could touch your own tongue and just agree with me that this is not evil. This isn't evil. There's nothing inherently evil about this. It's just a piece of flesh. It's just a bunch of cells. It's got some blood flowing through it. This isn't evil. However, what I do with this can create a world of iniquity around me. A world that is set against what God's purposes are. My tongue can create that. My tongue, which is a fire, can be anointed by the very fire of hell. In other words, my tongue can be used to bring the nature of hell into my world. My tongue. Your tongue, your neighbor's tongue, can create hell on earth for a person. When you use this tongue, the very tongue that you're going to be judged for using when you stand into eternity, every word that comes out of your mouth, when you use that tongue to sow into the atmosphere over people's lives, to agree with the accuser of the brethren, to speak evil or to judge people or to bring curses upon people, to limit people's lives, to do all those things, your tongue is being used by hell. But that is not what God created you for. He created your tongue to match his, so that when you speak, life is the result. So that when you speak, worlds are created. And not worlds of iniquity, but worlds. That when you speak and you agree with what your Father in heaven is saying, that it actually shifts atmospheres for people and people's lives are transformed. That's what your tongue is for. That the life of heaven, that it wouldn't create. Your tongue is supposed to be creating heaven on earth, not hell on earth. See how great a forest is set aflame. Verse 7. Every species of beast, of birds, of reptiles, of creatures of the sea, they have all been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it, now this is the contrast, you got to hear it. With it we bless our Lord and our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh water and bitter water? Can a fig tree, now look at the notion of fruit, because we're going to see this again. Jesus also talks to this. Can a fig tree produce olives, or can a vine produce figs? No, nor can salt water produce fresh water. There is darkness that looms over the salt water, and there is a breath of God which looms over the fresh water. With our tongue, we bless God, and with our tongue, we curse man. With our tongue, we bring increase and strength, and we add value to it. Or with our tongue, we limit, we curse, and we bind people and hold them and keep them from becoming what God's called them to be. My brethren, this ought not be. We ought not use this tongue that is so great a flame to create hell for people. We ought not sow into the atmosphere that exists over physical places, over families, over individuals, over businesses. You ought not sow into that atmosphere with condemnation or with judgment or with, you have no idea what is going on in there. I have a pastor friend told me this story. He said the city that he was living in, one of the pornographers in their city, someone who owned pornography bookstores and all, he got radically saved. Got radically saved. The Christians in town had been cursing his business. In Jesus' name, we just curse that person. We curse that. You know, we're trying to bind because we hate the result of what this has done to people. But in the speaking of curses, they had no idea that the person behind it had now become radically saved and was desperately trying to get rid of the business. And so the Christians in town actually find themselves cursing a person who has now become redeemed. Are you seeing this? See, okay, you can't see all ends. You have no idea what's going on in someone's life. You have no idea what's going on in that actor's life. Just because it said it on Twitter or Facebook doesn't mean it's true. Right? You ought not believe everything you're reading coming out of the media either. You don't know what's going on in that politician's life. You have no idea what's going on with a person. Right? Your words and your discernment probably shouldn't be aimed at trying to figure out what's wrong. Because if you head your words in that, if you head your heart in that direction, out of the overflow of your heart, your words are going to speak. And your words are going to sow into what is looming over the surface of their life. Do you want to be someone who is partnering with chaos and darkness, or do you want to be someone who is partnering with the breath of God? You got to choose. Because out of the same fountain, it should not be both things. Proverbs 18, verses 20 and 21. With the fruit, remember, a fruit tree doesn't bear both good this kind of fruit and this kind of fruit. Proverbs 18, 20 and 21. With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will become satisfied. In other words, you get what you speak. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are contained within the power of your words. How can that be, Pastor Jamie? Because you're made in his image. Because the Spirit of the living God, and because he has raised you from the dead, because you are not just another human being, you have become a child of God. Your words create worlds, and you were made in His image, and His words create worlds. When He gave us authority to release His kingdom, to rule this world, when He gave authority to man, He made us like Him. Our words shape our world. Your words are shaping worlds, whether you know it or not. Ignorance does not keep you from the reality of these things. Would you turn over to Luke chapter 6, verses 39 through 45? Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, 39 through 45. He was speaking a parable to them. This is Jesus' words. Now, this whole section is all one point. He's not making multiple points. I know that you have heard different sermons pulled out from these different verses because they, you know, you can infer lots of stuff. But he's talking about the same subject. Look at this. A blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they not both fall into a pit? A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, he will become like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck that is out of your eye, when you yourself do not see the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck that is in your brother's eye. For there is no good tree that produces bad fruit, nor, on the other hand, a bad tree which has produced good fruit. For each tree will be known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good. And the evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. The fruit of your life, that which you are experiencing on a regular basis, the atmosphere over your life, is being created by your words and others' words. Your agreement with the lies that other people have sown over you is keeping you in that darkness. Or your own words yourself. Our words are what are producing fruit in our life. Our words have power. Power to help people or power to hinder people. Power to bind people or power to set people free. You don't look at the speck in your brother's eye and then say to your brother, hey, you got something wrong with you. Let me just go ahead and get that for you. When you don't recognize that in your own life you got the same thing going on. Have you ever had somebody who is blatantly like, you just know, okay, this person got that problem. I know I struggle with the problem, but I can see that they got that problem too. And then that person comes and tries to give you instruction on how to get free from the very problem that they're struggling with. You ever experienced this? Come on, if you've been in the church more than 10 minutes, you've experienced this. Because this is what Christians do. Some reason we got it in our head that our job is to fix the people around us. Some reason we got it in our head that it's our job to convict other Christians of the sin that they are committing. Somehow we have become convinced that that's the pastor's job. It's my job to stand up here and point your finger at you and tell you what's wrong with you. We've been fueled with a mentality that's focused the wrong direction. Jesus says, hey, there's nothing wrong with helping somebody out with what's going on in their life. Okay, like if someone's struggling with something, it's awesome. Like, come alongside them, help them. Your words are what is going to shape this. But it's going to be very difficult for you to remove the sliver out of someone's eye when the plank in your head keeps smacking them in the side of their head. Let me just get that. And I can tell you that the person receiving your wonderful ministry is hesitant and is having a problem trusting your ability to get them free. Are you? These things are being shaped by your words. They're being shaped by your words. What's coming out of your heart? What's coming out of the overflow of your mouth? This is displaying what's going on in your heart. If you ever find yourself, you're in a situation, maybe you know the kind of situation it requires, but you get into a certain situation and then all of a sudden, pow, anger in a volcano of words comes out of your mouth. It just takes the right circumstances to set you off. Okay, if you find yourself hitting those kind of tipping points where you get into a situation that just sets you off, can I tell you that that is demonstrating you are treasuring something. You're holding on to something in your heart. Something that ought not be there. You need healing. You need deliverance. You're holding on. The word treasure, it's to treasure something. I am holding on to something, and because I'm holding on to it, if it's evil in nature, then there's going to be times in my life where my tongue will display the nature of what I'm treasuring. Come on, it doesn't... You got to just get in the right circumstance, right? Your wife pushes the right buttons. Your husband pushes the right buttons. The right traffic situation. You know, kids, they're doing great, but the noise level is just enough, right? And you're trying to watch a football game and noise levels, and you can feel your blood starting to boil, right? And you're fine. Everything's cool and collective under the surface of the deep of your life, right? Until it gets to here. And once it gets to here, we're not having hamburgers for lunch. We're having children. Okay, that exposes what's going on in your heart. Okay, these are flags. These should be indicators. Like, hey, like there's something there to deal with. Don't run away from it. Don't blame people. It was your fault you weren't quiet. It's not their fault they weren't quiet. They're children. What's wrong with you? They have an excuse. They're 3. You're 40. Hello? Which is interesting because time doesn't heal these things. You got to be direct with these things. You got to deal with them. I don't know why those things are in you, but Jesus does. I don't know why that happens in you, but the Lord does, and his anointing is to heal that stuff, which, by the way, is a perfect commercial for the Freedom Weekend. Okay, registration ends this afternoon. Just go out to the Welcome Center, sign up for it. You ought to be delivered. My wife and I, we've gone through many of these weekends because we recognize, hey, you're on a journey, and the Lord is working with us, right? We're becoming more whole. It's a good journey to be on. But recognize what's coming out of your mouth is telling you what's in your heart. If when you get around a circumstance and it's not going your way, you criticize the people involved, that's what's in your heart. And it's not okay. If when you get around a certain, you know, sect in society or a certain political persuasion and you begin to judge them and your words begin to speak evil against them, that's what's in your heart. That's what you're treasuring. When you get around a certain ethnicity, if something comes out of you that is not building them up or strengthening them or helping them towards their call, if something comes out of you, that's what's in your heart. Racism. These things ought not be flowing out of the well that has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They're all indicators. Your mouth is telling you exactly where your heart is. Your mouth is telling you exactly where your heart is. The words that come out of our mouths are what is sowing into what is hovering over people. Listen, if you know somebody that's in darkness and there's something going on with them, the last thing on earth you need to be doing is agreeing with their situation. You're right, you are messed up. No, what you need to be doing is speaking life, because that's what gets the Spirit, the breath of God, to begin to hover over their life. You need to be prophesying destiny into their life, not telling them what's wrong with them. You need to see the opposite. You need to see the gold that is hidden under all the filth of life. You need to recognize the value of that human being so that you can be declaring to them, this is who you are. This is what God's called you to. I don't know if you remember the stories. When Cindy Jacobs was here last, she kept telling these stories of bumping into mafia people. And she would give them these tremendous words of like, you're supposed to change the world, right? And in the middle of her prophesying over them, they would say, but I'm a bad man. And she would say, I know, that's why you need Jesus. Pray this prayer. Right? It was the glory, it was the goodness being displayed in their life that caused them to come to repentance. It was convicting them of the glory they're falling short of. It was actually bringing the Spirit of God, the breath of God, over a life that has been in chaos. Come on, what you need to break that depression, what you need to break those things is words of life. Quit agreeing with it. And just like your mama said, if you ain't got nothing good to say, then shut your trap. Your mom didn't say it like that? Our words are creating realities. Our words are creating realities. Darkness is permitted and it's perpetuated through our words. It's permitted. Christians, you have an anointing, a marking from the living God. The Spirit of God rests on your life. He said, out of the innermost being is supposed to flow this river. This is in John 7. On the last day, it's John 7, verses 37 through 39. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried out and he said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who would believe in him were to receive. Now, this river of life, it's what we described in the very beginning, the Spirit of God, the breath of God, hovering over this fresh water, this living water, that in every believer, when you believe in Jesus Christ and you take his redemption as your own, that the Spirit of God would indwell you and this river would become available. It's not for just for you to drink, it's for others. The river of life would come out of you and the Spirit would ride that living water. It's this. The Spirit of God would hover over that living water. And how do you access that living water? How do you get living water to give someone a drink? How do you water someone's life? It's your words. It's with your words. You want the Spirit of God to use you? Awesome. Curve your tongue. You want people's lives to be changed around you, empowered around you? Stop cursing them. Start speaking blessing. Come on, get on the other side of this train. Right? Go the other direction. You want people to change? Don't tell them what's wrong with them. They know what's wrong with them. They don't need your help. No, you don't know this person. They need to know what's wrong with them. Okay, well, let me know how that works for you. Watch a small child. You tell them, praise them. Tell them how awesome they did. Encourage them in something that you see that is really valuable and you see something good in that. Encourage them. Speak life in them. You watch them. Their face will light up. They will come alive. Or to take the same child and tell them what's wrong. Hey, you did everything else right, but this, you did that wrong. And watch them be crushed. Watch criticism that you think is constructive actually destroy a person's ability to be empowered. Don't do that. Don't let fresh water and salt water come out of the same mouth. These are the things you're going to be judged for. This is the stuff that you're going to stand before the Lord Jesus for and be held accountable for. Your words are shaping realities. Now, I know you have a good heart, I know the kingdom exists in you. I know that God wants to use you for powerful things. Why do you think I keep telling you this? Week after week, Pastor Jamie, you say this stuff all the time. Yes, you're right, because I'm hoping someone will believe it. Because I know this is the environment. This kind of freedom environment happens because we limit criticism. The way we encourage ministry here is, hey, we don't point out what's wrong. But the Spirit of God told me, yeah, I'm sorry, you got discernment going in the wrong direction. If you see what's wrong, you just got your, you ever had one of those fans when you were a little kid? Those little, you put a battery in it, the fan spins. I'm talking about little hand fans, like you can buy them at Valley Fair still, right? With a little spritzer bottle now. What a cool invention. And the fans go on, cools you off. Okay, if you've never owned one of those things, can you at least imagine one of these things? Okay, what is so cool about those things is that the circuitry is so simple in them that if you reverse the polarity of the battery, the fan will spin the opposite direction. Some of you just got your battery hooked in wrong. You got the polarity mixed up, okay? The positive goes towards the positive. I want to end with something. I want to demonstrate something for you and invite you into it. I'm actually going to ask, Jim, if you could grab that bucket Dan or Noreen even, would you help me here? Grab that other bucket of communion there. I'll need one up here as well. We're going to pass out communion this morning. If you just lift your hand, if you did not receive the communion elements on the way in, we'll make our way around. Thank you. I'm going to demonstrate something for you this morning, as well as we're going to actually do this. And some of y'all are going to get delivered today. Like straight up delivered. Like there's been an atmosphere over you and it's going to go away. And the rest of us, we're going to get an awesome tool set so that when we experience this stuff, then we know what to do. Okay, just keep your hand lifted up if you need communion cups here. Oh, there's some folks in the front row here. Noreen, if I could get you to come over here, Jim. Right in the middle here, there's a whole bunch of folks. Over here, right in the middle here. This whole section right here at the middle needs it. So this is real life experience, okay? I know that when I'm moving forward in life and in ministry, there are days when I will feel like there's this kind of sluggish atmosphere over me. Now, I've come to know what it's like to live under God's favor and to have things work. Like when you're doing what the Father's doing, stuff works. Like it works. It moves forward. It doesn't actually require a tremendous amount of like sweat effort. It requires effort. But you're able to work out of rest, and it just moves forward. It works, right? And so I have realized, like, when I'm not feeling that, when there's kind of an atmosphere, I'm having to work a lot harder than I ought to. When I just feel it. It's like not icky, but like just sluggish. Like I'm working through, you know, mud. When I feel that, I've come to know something. I know that what is looming over me is an atmosphere created by other people's words. I recognize it. I know and discern when someone is judgmental towards me because I can feel it over me. When someone is judging me or speaking words of curse, and by the way, this works for your own atmosphere as well. If you come into agreement with these things and it's coming out your mouth, you're forming your own darkness world, right? But these atmospheres, when I come to experience them, I go, oh man, like sometimes it catches me off guard. Like I'll go a whole week where I'm just working way too hard. Like, what is wrong? Right? You know, and I can kind of feel it's like chaos around me and I'm having like scuffles with people, and it just kind of, you know? You ever felt that? It shouldn't be like this. That thing, when I'm experiencing that, I know that there's an atmosphere over me that's been created by words. By people sinning against me. Do you remember what Jesus said? He said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures said. In other words, right believing in what Jesus has done sets you free from these realities. Okay, because if you believe that sickness has come from God, how do you fight that? If you believe that you're limited and that you're just, you know, average. Never mind that you're made in his image, but you're just average and woe is me, and this is your attitude, you just clearly have not come to know what Jesus has done for you. Your value was determined by what was paid for you. When you believe in the fullness of the promise of what Christ Jesus came to do, you recognize that he came to bring heaven to earth. That his kingdom is supposed to increase, never be diminished. Of the increase of his government, it will never fail. The kingdom of his peace and his righteousness, it will not diminish. That there is an authority that has been released to every believer because of what Christ Jesus has done. That heaven is supposed to invade earth. On earth as it is in heaven. See, but what happens is I watch the world and I see the craziness out there, and then my mouth begins to align with darkness. And so guess what I begin to discern about my life? Oh, woe is me. Stuff is going so bad. Why? Because that's what you're fixated on. Your right believing has switched. You're no longer seeing the world as Christ paid for it. He came to redeem the whole planet, the whole thing. The whole thing. What part of the whole thing? What part of all sin he died for? What part of all iniquity? What part of every work of the devil is not included in that statement? It was all taken care of in his cross. All of it. It is finished. Right believing in what Christ has provided sets me up to come into a fullness, to have access to be free from the limitations of this world. Right believing in what, in other words, you stand on the right side of the cross, not the one that Jesus is heading to the cross. Woe is me, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, you were a sinner saved by grace. A one-time event. Now you are a saint, a son of God. You transitioned out of darkness into the kingdom of light. When you were baptized in Christ Jesus, your old sinful nature was put to death. And when you were identified with his body in the waters of baptism, when you were raised to new life, when you came out of those waters, your old nature was left behind in the grave. You are no longer a sinner. You need to stop thinking of yourself like that. You need to stop talking like that. That's probably why you're acting like that. Embrace the right side of the cross, because on this side of the cross, no curse can overcome your life. No disease can overcome your life. No sickness can stand against you. No work of the devil, no work of a demon, no work of man can come against the purposes of God in your life. These things were dealt with in the cross. Now, I am not telling you you're going to live a perfect existence. No, no, no. You are to live by faith in the cross of Jesus, and you may or may not see the fullness of that expressed in your lifetime, but your kids will. Your grandchildren will. Healing happens so easily today, and people paid a price for it over the last 100 years. It wasn't always that way. You can get saved today. You can just pray this morning, a simple 5-word prayer, and Jesus will come in your heart, and we will tell you, you got saved today. But did you know 50 years ago they had a sinner's seat at the front of a church where people would tarry and would sit in a chair for days and days hoping that God would save them? Yet something that was so difficult back then is so easy now. Why? Because we changed the way we think about things. We repented. We stopped aligning our words with that and began to understand the right side of the cross. In the body of Jesus, every sickness, every disease, all forms of brokenness were taken care of. Everything. It is enough. Would you take out that bread this morning and just hold it before yourself? We're going to take it together. I'm going to make some declarations. And as I do it, I want you to come into agreement with it. Okay, yes, Lord, yes, I believe that. Or maybe even some of you want to even just repeat after me as I'm saying these things. I want to give you a tool today because when you leave this place, you're going to come under those kind of atmospheres. Darkness will attempt to loom over you, and I want you to know what to do. It is the body and the blood of the Lord that sets you free from that. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he passed it out to each one of his disciples. He said, "This is my body." Would you repeat after me? This is his body. Lord Jesus, we come before you boldly to obtain grace today. Lord, I become before you with your body, declaring that the body of Jesus is enough. I declare over my physical frame, I apply the body of Jesus to me. I apply the body of Jesus to my physical frame. He took all sickness. He took all disease. He took every accident, every injury, every result of pain, every result of the fall. It was placed in his mortal frame so that by his stripes I would be made whole. I take and I apply the body of Jesus right now to my physical frame. Listen, y'all got your own issues. I got some physical issues that I deal with too. I'm going to declare mine, you declare yours, okay? So Lord, I thank you. I apply your body to my eyes this morning, Lord. I apply your body, Jesus, to my back, Lord. I apply your body right now, Jesus, to my organs, Father, my nervous system. I just declare right now wholeness and health to this physical frame. I stand in faith this morning believing that the fullness of Christ Jesus is enough. That his body was enough, and I apply his body to mine. I take Jesus' body right now as my own flesh, into my flesh, that I would be made whole by what you sacrificed, Jesus. You get everything you paid for. You get it, Lord. I give it to you. I give you the pain. I give you the brokenness of this life, Lord. I release it to you, and I take your body upon my flesh. Lord, we receive that healing this morning. We receive it. This is the body of Jesus. Would you take and eat, each one of you? In a like manner, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant which is in my blood. Take and drink, each one of you, and do this and remember me." Would you repeat after me? This is the blood of Jesus. I'm going to make some declarations again. You just come into agreement. Lord, we come before you this morning declaring your blood. I declare and plead the blood of Jesus that overcomes every work of the enemy. I declare the blood of Jesus over this congregation, over my life. Right now, by the blood of Jesus, I release mercy over those who have sinned against me. I do not retain their sins. Those who would have judgments against me, those who have sinned against me, those who have spoken curses against me, those who have spoken limiting words, they were just being critical and judgmental. Lord, I release them from their sins against me. Right now, I forgive them. I forgive them. Lord, I release them this morning. They were just being critical, they're being judgmental. They don't know. Lord, I release them. Even those who are intentional, even witchcraft, Lord, that's come against my life. Lord, I just break that off right now. I release mercy. Any witches or warlocks that you may even be in this room right now and you're here to curse, we just release mercy to you. I forgive you. Like, be forgiven. I don't retain your sin against us. We release that mercy right now to the covens that are meeting. We release that mercy right now to those who would intentionally curse us. We just release mercy to the Muslim world. Mercy right now in Jesus' name. We don't retain their sins. By the blood of Jesus, we break off every word curse. Even words that we have spoken, we break those things off. Lord, we repent this morning. If we've had judgment towards people, or we've spoken critical or binding words, God, we cut those words off. Right now, we break off their power. We speak blessing right now. We bless our enemies. We bless those who have cursed us. We bless those who have persecuted us. We bless them this morning. Lord, by the blood of Jesus, We break off every work of the devil, every demonic work that would come against your life. We break it off now in Jesus' name. Every atmosphere of darkness or chaos that would attempt to loom over your life, we cut that short now and we release the breath of God. The blessing of the Lord be upon your life. The favor of God be upon your life. By the blood of Jesus, we overcome. This is the blood of Jesus that was given for you to take and drink, each one of you. I invite you just to put your hand on your own heart today, because I understand there is a deliverance that must happen. There has to be a deliberate choice. At some point you're gonna have to own this. I apologize if you came and you're just visiting this morning. You didn't want to know this stuff. It's true. This is true. Our Father, we invite you by your Holy Spirit to come and to highlight any area that we are treasuring, God, that leads to words that are binding or cursing, God. God, anything evil that we've treasured in our hearts, we invite you, Holy Spirit, would you come in? Would you help us to see that so that we could surrender it? We could let Jesus pay for that. We could let Jesus get his full reward. He paid for that stuff. It's wrong for you to hold on to it. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would highlight any person, Lord, that we've been critical towards or judgmental towards, that we've bound with our words. I pray, Holy Spirit, not that it would flood or overwhelm us, Lord, but that, Holy Spirit, right now, that you would just, you place them on our hearts so that we could be intentional about releasing life over them. That we could undo. God, I pray that you would give us a grace this morning to dig up some of the seed that we have planted. Lord, I thank you that you've made us a powerful people, a people that shift atmospheres. That doesn't matter where you go, the kingdom of peace goes with you, and that you, one plus God, is a majority, y'all. That we can go into the darkest situations, and because we don't allow our tongue to align with darkness, we speak life, that atmosphere will shift eventually. Lord, I thank you that this is a powerful company. Now, Lord, this morning, Lord, by the power of my words, Father, and just as the position of authority that you've given me, I release mercy to you. Do not be downtrodden by this. Don't be condemned by this word. I release mercy to you this morning. You know, some of us have really failed with our words. We really have. Just own it. Repent. If you've hurt people with your words, go apologize. Just make it right. Lord, I pray for a grace to make things right, relationships to be restored, power to return to people. Lord, I thank you for that. And Lord, I thank you that you're making us a mighty army, powerful in word and in deed, to bless, to rebuild, Lord, ruins of people's lives, of cities, God, that have been ruined. Lord, we're going to rebuild them. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted. But by the curse of a wicked, a city is broken down. Lord, that our words, that we will bless our nation, we will not curse it. That we'll bless our leaders, we will not curse them or judge them. We will find the gold in every situation so that we can add momentum and strength and see your kingdom invade. Lord, we are a people that can be used by you. Father, I thank you for that. Thank you for that. Lord, for a grace just to turn the polarity of that battery around so that we're aimed in the right direction. Thank you for that, Father. Now, I bless you this morning. I bless you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. Let him protect you. May the Lord be gracious to you. Everything you need be found in him. May his countenance lift you up. For those who have found darkness over their lives, you've had a depression or whatever that has come over you, we just declare the countenance of the Lord, the favor of the Lord towards you. The gaze of his fiery eyes over your life, consume the enemies that would stand against you. The favor of God be upon your life and lift you up out of that. His favor be upon you. And the peace of God would guard your heart. It would guard your mind. That you would live and dwell in that kingdom of peace. Lord, I declare these things boldly in the mighty name of my Father, as a son, through the blood of Jesus. And everyone that dared to agree with that said, amen, amen. Come on, can you give a strong clap to the Lord this morning?